Engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you have had a good welcoming of the year so far. And it is certainly a sigh of relief on the part of many people that we are in 2021 now, looking back at all the trials of 2020. I saw a funny post on social media saying, okay, nobody say 2021 is your year. Let's just all walk very slowly and quietly and don't touch anything. You know, it's like we're walking into this new year and we're really, really begging the Lord that it will be good. But you know what the readings proclaim to us today on this first day of the year, in this solemnity of Mary, that it is already good. And here's why. It is already good, because the blessing of God prepared for us from all eternity, fulfilled for us in the coming of Christ, in the birth of Christ, because today, New Year's Day, is called the octave of Christmas. It's the 1 week after Christmas. It's the culmination of this first part of the Christmas season. We're celebrating the coming of the Messiah, and this is the principal blessing and the source of all other blessings that God has prepared for us from all eternity. He has given us His Son. Now, St. Paul says, if He has given us His Son, how can He not give us all good things besides? You see, the celebration of the welcoming of this child, the welcoming of the Messiah, is the celebration of the welcoming of the foundation for every other blessing. That's why the prayers and the readings here begin with this blessing. The first reading of the new year in the church's liturgy is a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you and let His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, look upon you kindly, give you peace. Today is also called the World Day of Peace. Why? Because Christ is peace. The one who comes is the Prince of Peace. And why is that? Because He establishes reconciliation again with God. He breaks and takes away the enmity that existed between us and God because of the original sin. That alienation, that absence of the life of God in us. It is the coming of Christ that removes that. Once we're in union again with God, once we have access again to the Father, because of the one who came, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, well, then we have everything else besides. It might not come all right away on the same day, but this is the basis on which we can say, hope for, and extend to others this kind of blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. He has already blessed us. He has already let His face shine upon us in Christ. He's been gracious to us with the forgiveness of our sins while we were yet sinners. He has looked upon us kindly. Christ has died, is risen again, is filling us with His grace. He has given us peace through the blood of the cross of the one who was born in the manger. Paul elaborates on this in the second reading. There is proof now that you are sons and daughters of God, not enemies of God. There's proof now that you are his sons and daughters. He's given you his Spirit. You cry out, Abba. You say, Father, as we will say later in this liturgy. We will say, Our Father. We have reached the fullness of time. That beautiful gospel passage that we just heard gives us the picture again of the manger there. Christmas continues in all these days. We have, in fact, another week plus, a week and a half more of the Christmas season. And as I mentioned in the previous days, you know, the church during this time of year takes a spotlight, if you will, and looking at the manger scene, which epitomizes Christmas, with each of these different feast days that comes, it's like the spotlight focuses on a different character, brings attention to a different aspect or dimension or angle of the Christmas mystery. And today, that spotlight is on the mother. The shepherds come, first of all, they see Mary there with Joseph. They see that God has not come in some kind of scary way, like he came, like, for example, when Moses met him on Mount Sinai, right? And Moses himself was trembling. The earth was trembling. There was lightnings and clouds and trumpet blasts on Mount Sinai. He didn't come like that when he sent the Messiah. A gentle scene of a baby with his mother, with Saint Joseph, poor and lowly and humble people, the shepherds coming to adore. And they were all amazed. They were all amazed that now God was with us in the flesh. Mary is truly the mother of God. It's her principal title. And it really is an astonishing title. And it's a biblical title. When Mary goes to her kinswoman Elizabeth, because remember when the angel came to her to say to her that she would be the mother of Jesus, we're reading this at the beginning of Luke's gospel, right? He says, well, your kinswoman Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, John the Baptist. She runs to her. By the way, that gives us a very important lesson, doesn't it? When you really encounter God, you don't get turned in on yourself. You become more aware of, sensitive to, and responsive to the needs of others. She could have just stayed there and meditated all day long. Oh, I've just been visited by an angel. I'm going to be the mother of the Savior. I have to pray. I have to reflect on this. No, she ran into the hill country. It was like she was paying more attention to what the angel said about her kinswoman Elizabeth than what she said about herself. Our true encounters with God take us out of ourselves and go to serve the needs of others. But the point I'm making is that when she got there, Elizabeth voiced this title of Mary that we reflect on today. She says, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So mother of my Lord, mother of God, is a biblical title for Mary. But we think about it and say, well, that's strange because God is eternal. If you have a mother, your mother existed before you did. How can God have a mother? Well, he doesn't have a mother in the sense that he didn't exist until his mother had him. No, that's what's different. God always existed. Jesus always existed. But he didn't always exist in a human body and soul. That's what changes. And he uses Mary as an instrument for that new way of being among us. God was always, is always with us. But at Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation, which actually started 9 months before Christmas, obviously. He was conceived in the womb of Mary, grew there as an unborn child for 9 months, and then was born in the manger in Bethlehem. So she's not pre-existing God, but she's truly the mother of God. Why? Very simple reason. Jesus is God. Is she or is she not the mother of that baby? That baby was conceived within her, grew in her womb. It was a miraculous birth because she remained a virgin. But nevertheless, she gave birth to him. She's his mother. But who is he? Well, yes, he has a human nature, he has a human body, he has a human soul, but he's a divine person. The person there is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. It's not a separate person other than the second person of the Trinity. So, yeah, she's the mother of the person, she's the mother of that baby. And because that person is divine, as we will say now in the Creed, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, consubstantial with the Father, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Consubstantial means he's made of the same stuff, not made. He is the same stuff as the Father. So yes, she's the mother of God. And the church wants us to look at her. Her generosity is, and her faith and her trust and her obedience are all a model for us. Let it be done to me according to your word. It was not in the plans, her plans. It was in God's, but not hers. But let it be done to me, as you say. And then look at the line that the church shows us today in this gospel, among the others, is also a key example for us and a key guidepost for starting the new year. And I hope you're thinking of some good New Year's resolutions, at least one. And if you haven't thought of one yet, well, start today. Time, right? It's only the first day of the year. But look at what this gospel passage says. Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Not only does she say yes to the word of God, she takes the time to reflect on these things. Notice it says in her heart, not just in her mind. Our faith is not just about concepts to understand, although it does include that, and it includes that necessarily, and there are key things we need to believe, otherwise we're not Christians. But she reflects on them in her heart, in the very core of her being. In other words, hearing the word of God, and this really summarizes all New Year's resolutions, summarizes any plans that we want to make or goals that we want to set for 2021. They all have to be summarized by this, that when the word of God is spoken, as it has been spoken, as it is here in the scriptures, as it is in Christ Jesus, then our heart has to reflect on it. In other words, all the things that, all our center of gravity has to be reshaped according to that word. All our desires, our priorities, our choices, our plans, our beliefs, what makes us happy, what makes us sad, what we set our heart on, and what we can do without. Day by day and in every circumstance, and the ordering of our relationships and our priorities, it all has to be integrated and shaped around the word that God speaks to us. And I'm not talking about some kind of private thing just between us and God. I'm saying the word he has spoken to us publicly, revealed in the scriptures, in the creed that we will profess, in the moral teachings of the church that are public and have been ever since that child who was laid in the manger began preaching. Yes. Mary reflected all these things. She kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. She didn't let them go by. She didn't miss them. Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to say the biggest tragedy of life is not what we suffer, it's what we miss. Don't miss the word of God, the message he's speaking to you. She kept all these things, didn't let them go by, didn't let them be forgotten. We have to spend time every day of this new year in serious prayer, in serious reflection on the word of God. She kept all these things and reflected on them in her heart. And in that way, she's not only an example for us individually, she's a symbol of the church. She's the mother of the church. If she's the mother of God and mother of Christ, and we are members of the body of Christ, that's why we say she's our mother too. Don't think, and I know some of our brothers and sisters who watch these sermons are not Catholic, and we welcome you joyfully as fellow believers. But please don't get the idea that we think Mary is some kind of alternate savior. All the things we celebrate about Mary are because of her son, Jesus Christ. It's only because of Christ. He is her savior too. As scripture says, she says, my spirit rejoices in God, my savior. So it is all about Christ. And this image of her reflecting on the word of God is an image also of the church, the entire body of Christ, receiving the word of God, being shaped by it, reflecting on it, living by it, and applying it. Part of this reflecting on the word of God is applying it to the things that happen, including in the political realm. You know, Jesus is Lord of all our life, not all the aspects of our lives, not just some of them, not just most of them. There's no aspect of our life or our activity or the things we think or the convictions we have that is not under the lordship, under the dominion of Christ. Includes our political life. Important elections going on. 4 days from now is election day in Georgia, the runoff elections for two U.S. Senate races that will determine the direction that the Senate takes, determine the direction of the whole country, not just how Georgia will be represented. So the voters in Georgia, boy, they have an extra special responsibility right now. And we're putting out information on our different platforms. Please stay connected with it. And this is part of these readings. She reflected on all these things spoken by God. So what does God say about our public life, about our public policies? Does he say it's okay to have public policies that shed the innocent blood of babies in the womb, that don't even give them any protection? This is one of the big differences, isn't it, in the political parties and among the candidates running in Georgia and running in a lot of other places. Our political lives, our choices at the voting booth are also part of this whole dynamic of Christmas, of being a disciple, of welcoming the King. You know, many people are welcoming Jesus in the manger, but they're not unwrapping all their Christmas presents. His Christmas presents include the Sermon on the Mount and all his teachings and the church he established and the scriptures he left us. It's all given to us in that child. So Happy New Year. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May we reflect on his word every day of this year. May we make resolutions that will bring us closer to him and keep us closer to him. That is my prayer for you. I pray for you not only during this Mass, but each day as we journey into 2021. Let us realize that the greatest blessing has already been given to us, Jesus Christ, who is born for us, only Lord and Savior, the Master of all. And to him again we entrust ourselves today with the greatest possible joy and peace, because he brings us salvation. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.